Welcome back to Transformational Tea with Taj. Today, my guest is Gail B. Lee, and along with her daughter, Lyrica Mia Marquez, they've written a book called Autism, spelled A-W-E-T-I-Z-M, A Hidden Key to Our Spiritual Magnificence. And this book is the winner of an Indie Excellence Book Award. And it is an incredible book. And I want to start out, before I even introduce Gail, by reading the prayer that's at the beginning of her book. We humbly pray that the truth of autism, its infinite capacity for knowing, loving, and healing, be understood, honored, and actualized. When this is so, there will be greater unity and harmony within the world of autism and the world at large. We pray that this book becomes a vehicle guided by spirit to awaken, bless, and share with all the ultimate purity, preciousness, perfection, power, and possibilities that reside deep in the soul of autism and in the soul of all humanity. So Gail, I am so happy to welcome you here on Kauai, even though you're not here, you're far away in Arizona, to my show and to our listening audience. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my privilege and pleasure to be speaking with you today and have the opportunity to share our story and our message that is kind of just busting to get out there.
Yeah. Well, before we even start, I want to tell everyone that they can learn more about the book and order the book on your website, I think, at autism.com, and that's AWETIZM.com. Is there anywhere else that they can get the book?
It's also on Amazon.
Okay, great. So can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write this book? This is a very large book, and it's incredible. What inspired you to finally sit down and write this with Lyrica?
Well, I never set out to be a writer or an author. And yet the experiences that I shared with Lyrica and also three other nonverbal autistic souls that are co-writers in the book, these experiences were just so extraordinary, so life transformative, so heart-opening for me that I just felt to not share them would be really to let spirit down, for it all feels to me like this is all spirit-led, spirit-blessed, and spirit-sanctioned. So it came through kind of as a spirit mandate. There's a longer story if we want to go into the process itself from the beginning of when Lyrica was first diagnosed to be severely impaired, and I was told to institutionalize her would be the best route to take. And at that moment, I just said to myself, I'm going to spend the rest of my life proving this prognosis and recommendation to be wrong.
Well, at that time, what were her symptoms that they felt that she needed to be institutionalized?
She didn't respond to anything. People, sounds, visuals, just really kind of vegetated, and the only thing she did was sort of wave her fingers in front of her eyes, and that was pretty much her world of interaction, and she didn't sit up or move or anything that's more typical of young children and young toddlers.
And at what point did you realize she wasn't the same as other autistic children, where you came to an understanding about what was happening with her?
Well, she was actually not formally diagnosed as autistic until age 6, which is kind of late in the ballgame for now, but that was 35 years ago, so it's understandable. And I have to say it was quite an epiphany for us to realize that there were others living in that same shared experience. And yet it was when she was 8 that we were actually communicating, since she was nonverbal, with word cards. And it got to be to the point where we had so many, I just felt like there had to be a better way to have a conversation with her. So I took her to the computer and just asked her if she wanted to talk to me, and she took my index finger and started typing out letters. And her first discernible sentence was, "I am not retarded, I am intelligent." And I was just blown away. To me, it was a huge miracle, and it began the opening of my entrance into her inner world of autism, and the journey just got more amazing as the days and months and years went on.
Well, when my sister had met you, and she emailed me your information and your website, when I saw that, because there's a DVD on the website, and when I saw that, my whole body just had chills, and it just brought me to tears. The DVD is so powerful when that's typed up. You know, just my heart just like opened.
Well, you know, I have to say, because I also, at a very late stage in my life, was diagnosed as Asperger's syndrome, which is a mild, considered to be higher functioning form of autism. My dearest and most profound moments that I hold on to in this world and in this lifetime have been when I have been in the presence of Lyrica and the other three that I've worked so closely with. When I'm in their presence, there's just a certain, and I go into a place of really being in the moment, not distracted by other events or happenings. And I just go into this place that is just so soft and so dear and so peaceful and so expanded. It's like I just merge with their higher frequency, and the experience is just blissful.
Hmm. Well, when was it that you were able to transform not just your perspective, because that I can see how that happened, but your life to be able to touch deeper into who she is and that telepathic communication that you have with her? And what was the transformational thing that happened to you?
I think it was through her communications that took place gradually over the years from age 8 on. Just realizing that she's my teacher and I'm the student. Right. And when I shifted that whole visual, that whole vision, all of a sudden I started really receiving from her some of the gifts that she has to offer, like the telepathy, like the helping me come into higher dimensional doorways, and just being able to share with her some of the higher spiritual truths and teachings that she's brought through, and then to see how that experience has helped me to be able to tap more directly into my own inner self and hear my higher truth, my I Am presence. And it's been remarkable. And yet I think also when I realized who she really was, and first I had to say, Lyric, I'm sorry for all the years that I didn't understand, which, you know, we all have that process to go through. But I started offering her spiritual and energetic supports as well. So we started a journey together of seeking spiritual teachers and even healing modalities and all that. And maybe it wasn't the actual modalities and the specific teachings, but it was that shared process where we explored together the inner worlds and the outer worlds. And particularly when we, and it's described a lot in the book, sharing in the meditation and toning that we do on a daily basis, not only with each other, but of course, in the higher realms, and at this point, there are a lot of other autistics that we don't really know personally, but who seem to get there through their gifts of soul traveling. And in this work that we're sharing, we're actually working in what we are calling the chrysalis gold grid, which is an energy vortex, a divine matrix, a Merkaba, just a vortex of amazing technologies, keys, and codes. And as we work together in this sacred zone and are influenced by the energies coming through, I feel like both of us have just really stepped into higher aspects of ourselves and so much about why we're here and our destiny and what this journey is all about. And so we're just excited to try to share some of that enthusiasm and passion with other people, because it is so so life-changing. As you know, Taj, you've done so much in your life and world to follow maybe not the same course, but a similar ascension journey.
So I'd like to ask you, when did Lyrica begin to explain who she really was, and what was that? Because our listeners haven't read the book yet. What was she saying to you about who these autistic beings are, especially the ones that are severely autistic on the very high spectrum, end of the spectrum?
It was a gradual unfolding. It wasn't like an instant snap your fingers and it's all of a sudden downloaded in our hands to be understood fully. Like so many things, it's an evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm.
Is she? In fact, one of the things I just thought about that you just mentioned was she has a quote in the book, and I don't have it precisely, but something to the effect that our book will be hopeful for parents of autistics that, in her words, have low scoring report cards, which is to suggest that maybe those most severe on the autism spectrum, in some way, shape, or form, are really holding some of the highest gifts because they are more out of their body in the higher dimensions, and hence they're more connected to the realms of light and all that that offers in terms of multidimensional gifts, higher heart frequency, all of the things that we aspire to but sometimes really struggle to find and to actualize.
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding in the book, she talks about autistic people coming in being very high fifth dimensional beings and having to descend their energy into a third dimensional realm, which is overstimulating and very challenging to ground themselves in. And by having someone, you know, like you said, she grabbed your hand or you would hold her, that energy of another third dimensional being, us, helps bring them all the way in.
That's a perfect understanding of the process that's still taking place. And I think it's really important, and when we look at the gifts, which is so much what this book is about, to also understand underneath those gifts the challenges that you just mentioned of being a fifth dimensional or even higher dimensional being in a third dimensional world, and how difficult it is to bring their greatly expanded consciousness into their physical body. And without that embodiment, you know, life on a daily basis on the mental and emotional and physical and even spiritual level is very, very difficult. And not only that, but when we look at their energetic functioning, really, every single moment is a battle to maintain their spiritual balance and integrity when they're living in what, for them, is a lower vibrational world.
Right.
And like Lyrica, it's interesting. She tells me that she doesn't really see form very well, that her eyes really see energy more than form. So here she is in a world that energetically is difficult and kind of destabilizing, and then her eyes are seeing all this energy, so she really has a hard time translating that into what it means in the physical 3D world. And when I look at that, and then I think about how often Lyrica and others are misunderstood on who they really are,
right,
and how they are often poorly treated because of that misunderstanding, I am just so in awe of their courage to be here at all.
Yeah.
To be quite honest about it. And
it is amazing that they stay in the body and stay
and,
with the challenges.
Know, because to me, they're really from the angelic realm. Mm-hmm. I really believe that, you know, they're not biological mistakes. I don't think they're accidents. I really think that instead they're advanced souls with greatly mm-hmm. expanded consciousness who are here to support us and our evolution mm-hmm. into what I might call the sacred human that is our truth and divine destiny. It's like they're coming in a more advanced soul configuration to gently lead us forward and show us the way.
Right.
And it's just it's up to us to kind of get on board and get the right perspective so that we can appreciate and tap into that. Because so often, particularly parents, and I'm one because I've been there, we get locked into the struggle because there is a struggle. And I don't mean to minimize the challenges that occur because of this difference in frequency within the individuals and families. It's not an easy path to navigate. But Lyrica suggests that all of this is happening because not only are we trying to shift the paradigm of autism from kind of gloom and doom into something much more honoring and respectful, but we're also looking at a way that we're shifting the actual paradigm of parenting from being kind of, okay, let's groom these children to be lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs, and successful and famous and financially blessed, etc., to looking at what feeds the soul? Why are we here? You know, and really in autistic families, ultimately when the lawyer, doctor, Indian chief doesn't seem attainable, you have to find something else, and that's the glory and beauty of what the autistics bring. Because at some point, unless you drop down, or really maybe go up, is the real truth, into a soul perspective and a soul dance in that family, you know, you're going to be fighting forever.
Right.
If that makes sense. I'm not sure.
No, it does. It makes sense. And one of the things in the book that was really powerful for me, because I do all kinds of healing work, and I really felt like I had grasped how, you know, we're creating this, we're creating what it is that we're supposed to learn. I still was blocked about autism and the whole experience of vaccinations. I was still holding on to, you know, vaccinations creating autism. And in the book, there's like two sentences where she's saying how it doesn't matter what form autism begins from. That if you were meant to come in and have autism to teach and to learn from the experience, it would happen. And even though I knew that mentally, I could not wrap my mind around it with autism. And so it just changed something inside of me to go to a deeper level of acceptance.
And I think you brought up a really good point. Because mass consciousness and the reputation of autism is a very powerful shaper of the experience, and that's a lot of what Lyrica says the healing work for autism is about. And it's really trying to move that paradigm from focusing on simply the causes and cures to exploring more about the gifts and the greater purpose. And I think when we do that, we sort of turn the dial. We sort of move the marker into a much higher experience and reality.
Yeah. Well, I want to read a quote, because it's right on the subject right now, that's in the book. And it's from Lyrica. And Lyrica, at this point in the book, she's writing, it's not complete sentences like we write. And it's so powerful. And she says, "Time for soul to rest in the doorway in between the worlds. I have been seeking soul embodiment. Truth is my soul is an expanded part of God's mind. Soul cannot be contained in a body shell. It must tether there to turn body into a serving vehicle. The body must be infused with soul significance, but the soul cannot be limited to the body. Formula easy now that I know that I will not be locked into my body. I had to have a full body experience to know its limitations. When I lost my shell, I came fully into my body. That is when and where I experienced my body limits. Soul is free now to live in a true interdimensional way." And well, she talks about how challenging it is to be in the body. And something that was so powerful for me was when she talks about the throat chakra and coming into speaking and how that shifts the connection with the divine. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yes, that's a beautiful quote. Thank you for sharing that. There's so much in the book. I didn't even try to look for quotes because I could just get lost in the jungle and just, you know, never come out again.
Right. Well, I opened the page, and there's so much on every page.
You know, one of the things Lyrica talks about in regard to the throat chakra is how sacred it is and how much we as human beings have lost that sacredness and how we often use talking, as she says, for, you know, manipulating people or getting mm-hmm. what we want. And so there's a lot of times an absence of truth when we speak. And so she talks about one time I asked her, I said, Lyrica, it just must be so hard not to be able to speak. And her response just absolutely surprised the heck out of me. She said, well, why would I want to speak? And I thought, whoa. And I said, well, why do you say that? And she said, because people don't speak the truth. And I can't speak in a truth-fearing world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's suggesting maybe sometime down the line she will speak as a part of maybe her journey into more embodiment. But and the other part of that, and I'm kind of spinning off, but one of the interviewers that I did an interview with previously asked me point blank, why would Lyrica want to become more embodied? I mean, here she is in the oneness, which we all are seeking, in the bliss and the, you know, heavenly realms. And when I posed that question to Lyrica, she pretty much said that, you know, I've done through the facilitated communication, which is her way of typing with my support. You know, I've brought through my messages in the book, and I've, like, completed that chapter. And at this point, my service role is to come into a place to be able to share more of my frequency, more of my light, and I would say the higher heart frequency that is so much my experience of autism, with more of humanity. She realizes that she has to embody that mm-hmm. essence of who she is, of autism, more into the physical so that it can be shared more with the general population. And that's her quest at this point. And that has a lot to do with the next steps that we're going to be taking kind of on the heels of the book.
Right. Well, it feels like we're doing the same thing from opposite directions, that us here on Earth, you know, some of us that are really working towards being completely connected with our higher selves, we're ascending, we're wanting to ascend to move up into the higher frequencies, and she's having to come down, and autistic people and many other disabled people are coming into, descending into the lower frequencies to bridge heaven and earth.
That's precisely right, and I think that there's almost like a heavenly highway where everybody meets.
I love that.
It's like, you know, those that are trying to kind of get out more of their body will be supported by those who are more out of body coming more into body, and vice versa. So I see that there's a tremendous natural partnership for what I call light workers and autistic souls to join together and expand this journey and share each other's gifts and support.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my experience with the few autistic children that I've worked with is when you can play the right bowl or use the right tool, and for me it's tuning forks and essential oils, all of a sudden everything shifts and their energy gets completely calmed and relaxed and things shift. And even I worked with a five-year-old with Rett syndrome who, the first time I worked with her, I couldn't touch her at all. I had the grandmother use tuning forks in her field and a little bit on her. And the second time, which was 6 months later, when I asked her if I could put my hands on her back, she leaned into my hands for 8 minutes, which was, she has Rett syndrome, so they're in constant motion. And the experience that I had was, as they become more familiar with your field, things can shift when they find, it's like they know you before you know you.
And I think you're absolutely right. And so I sense is that this individual was blessed both by the tools that you were offering her, which are high vibrational above this 3D frequency, and then your relationship that was totally open and understanding, and what an amazing bridge that you offered to her to be able to find that momentary peace, that momentary bliss that, you know, we all seek. And so I think, you know, you really gave her that grounding and that balance and that integrity to be who she is. And what a great gift that is.
And it seems like, for me, the what you said just a little bit earlier and what Lyrica has said too is that it's the families that you're really teaching, you're showing. So when, you know, a child comes in with the grandmother or the mother, whoever is the caregiver at the time, they get to learn these skills that helps them to be able to see that being as a different being. And then they get to relax as well, and more things can happen.
That's the journey for sure. And, you know, I think it's, again, at the end of the day, it's not just the focus on autism. It's the focus on the rest of us mm-hmm. and what happens to us and what we can learn and create in unison and partnership with them. That's the miracle story. That's the glory story. In fact, you know, part three of our book, which came through, ironically, a year after we thought the book was finished, and it answers the riddle implied in the title, which is autism, a hidden key to our spiritual magnificence. And so really our book is, yes, a lot about autism, but it's really about autism as a mirror, as a teacher for us to show us who we really are and who we can become when we commit to our spiritual journey. It's showing us within this higher heart frequency, the how these multidimensional gifts are just a natural way of life. The telepathy, the soul traveling, the healing, the merging with nature, all these things that are described so beautifully in the book by the autistic writers are all things that ultimately are ours to have.
Right.
And we're just not maybe not so aware and open, and they're not as actualized, but they're here to help us
right.
see that and lead us forward into our divine destiny, into our divinity.
Right. And we don't have mystery schools that are training us the same way they were in other eons past. So we're having to open up and access that mystery school from the one inside of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's our inner teacher. That's the real expert and the guru. And I think what's really important now is that as we go from the Piscean age into the Aquarian age, is that we're going from a focus that was maybe more one-on-one healing, one-on-one relationships, into a time and place where it's all about groups. And Lyrica has a beautiful chapter in part two called Group Mind that really talks about the power of what happens when a group of people like-minded come together and share a common purpose, and particularly in a sacred space and with a divine purpose, the power that can come out of that. And so I think that's what our next step is moving toward. Is for 10 years, literally, Lyrica and I have pretty much forged this path along with the co-writers on our own. And yet now we're being told very clearly by Spirit that, you know, it's time to move into building the Chrysalis Goal family and opening it up to a whole lot more people to become co-creators in the process. And that's what I'm really excited about. In fact, we're kicking that whole idea off in Sedona in November to seed this process and ultimately offer it to others that would be interested in joining us.
Well, before you talk about that event, will you explain what Chrysalis Gold is and how it came about?
Like so many words, it has multiple meanings. And actually, when we were early on doing our work, and it was Lyrica, Leslie, Kellen, and Sarah, and I asked them, I said, what name can we use to sort of talk about this work? And it actually came out of a quote that Lyrica had about, of course, the path of the butterfly coming out of the chrysalis or the cocoon. And she talks a lot about molting into the butterfly. So the Chrysalis Goal became our metaphor for the transformational work that we were doing in the field of autism. At the time, we didn't know too much about what that was. We just followed the faith walk, and I call it the way spirit works with me anyway. It's the Hansel and Gretel theory. It just kind of gets us to the next breadcrumb.
Mm-hmm.
So we just followed that course, and then as we were guided to start doing a daily meditation and toning process, it became very clear that we were working in a multidimensional vortex or grid, and that's when we took that name and used it to describe the energy field, the unified field that we're working in, both for the book and now for the next steps that we're going to take. And and it's also the name of our publishing company, so it wears many hats, and yet it's very precious to us. It seems like it really holds the energy and frequency of our passion in the field of autism.
Great. So you have an event November 17th in Sedona. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's going to be and how people can get connected with it if they'd like?
Certainly. Starting off, I would like to just say that I'm so excited about it, particularly because my best friend and destiny partner, Lyrica, will be there with me.
Mm.
And in Sedona, we are going to consecrate what we're calling a holy partnership between the chrysalis gold autistic souls, which at this point number in the hundreds, and light workers that show up and want to be a part of seeding this divine partnership. And in trying to understand or explain this, again, I go back to this grid work that we do on a regular basis that is very much aligned with what we call autism mind. To me, that represents the purest essence of autism in the unified field. And we work in this grid at this point under direction of Melchizedek and Metatron and Merlin. And there are many sacred groups that are working in this grid with us. The most important one for this conversation would be the group of autistic souls.
Mm-hmm.
And out of this work, there came a call for us to create or invite a light worker group to join in this work and also ultimately join in this meditation and toning process that we do as well. And that's what we will be seeding in Sedona. The purpose of this partnership is to really kick off what we call autism evolution. And to us, autism evolution is the full realization of autism's purpose in the ascension process of humanity. That's a real big...
It's big. It's great.
Yeah, a very big thing. And it's not to suggest that autism is, at this moment, anything less than, although, ironically, Lyrica does, in some points, parts in the book describe autism as it presents itself in this moment as being a bit of an embryo state.
Mm-hmm.
Only to suggest that there's really more to come. And I believe, and she believes, that part of that is through more of an embodiment process. And she says that for herself and for others, that they must embody more this higher heart frequency, this autism light, this soul being that they are in the physical plane, because that way she'll be able to connect better with humanity and share these gifts better with humanity. Because if you think about it now, if you have somebody who's very, very high frequency side by side with somebody who may be in a very lower frequency zone, it's hard for the frequency to make the connection and be able to be effective. And so this whole idea of the light worker partnership is to create this bridge to help sort of bring humanity, a sector of humanity up into a higher place, which light workers already generally are with their open hearts and higher frequencies, and give them the opportunity to interact with the autism group, and so that the autism group has a bit of a grounding and a safety zone to be able to have the courage to really want to go through a more embodied process.
Right. And the group mind is powerful, you know, whether you're in meditation or whether it's the autistic souls connecting.
Exactly. And so really what we're asking the light workers to do is to help through the toning process shared with the autistics is to help ground in that new higher frequency that we sometimes call autism spark, to help ground that more into the planet, to support autistic souls to come more into this dimension and be safe and comfortable and excited about their purpose and feel like there's a group of hearts and hands that are helping them and supporting them to do this. And so Lyrica describes that as kind of a platform of heart and safety so that she can choose to embody more. And what's really interesting to me is that just in the last few days when Lyrica and I were doing our meditation and toning, it became very clear that the whole idea of our part of autism evolution, what we describe as opening the science doorway and the startup of the autism evolution, absolutely is going to require this group of light workers to be present, to be co-creators in the process. And again, that's to me working more in the Aquarian dimension, where it's all about the group, the power of the group.
I want to read another section of the book. Lyrica says, the question is, how does autism fit into the new world vision? It is the last soul group to fully incarnate. That means to gain a body presence and a mind influence. Incarnation is what usually happens at birth. It is the soul coming into the body fully at the time of birth. Soul is the seed form and embryo self in partial ways of attachment. At the precise moment of birth, the soul is imprinted with sun and planetary positions that influence character traits. When we are born, we have a similar experience, except our soul is not fully seated. We have a soul vestige that waits a long time for soul docking. That wait is time for us to seed in our higher ways into this world. Souls not docked are those considered to be severe ones on the autism lineup. We have little astrology influence compared to souls fully docked at birth. We have minds under another planetary mode. We have visitor tags saying, sent by God. We have no knowledge of our differences until we begin to interact in this world. Then the wars of survival begin in earnest. Nothing makes sense to us. We see a world stuck in frustration and pain. We see ways that create this frustration so clearly, want to speak about how absurd it all looks to us, but we are silent ones with much to learn ourselves. We have to lose our anger on this sleepy world. We are wanderers, so lost. We have to understand God's plan to be part of the solution. When we lose our shell of isolation, we truly getting to our point for being here now. When we lose our hatred of earthways and earth dwellers, we begin to unite in a spirit of harmony and unity. We begin to heal our artificial separations that soul sever God being from God being. For we are all divine in our core essence. When we dare to hold hands with those who are our neighbors, we rest in a shared flame that grows brighter and lighter. Then we become God joiners, not God severing ones. We first learn to hold hands with those who most resemble us. Even that can severely stretch our compassion capacities, requires us to reach for a kindness to others from within us. We can use our spoken words to seed more love. These channels are the God essence manifested in this world and beyond. So powerful. What this shows is they're going through the same challenges as we who are not autistic are going through, but in a different form.
Exactly. And just how wonderful to me the idea is of coming together and sharing in that journey. And to me, the light workers who choose to not only maybe come to join us in Sedona, but we'll be doing this same and more kind of partnering after that seed event, it will really help the light workers fast forward their own mission, their own journey, because of being infused in this grid and in this, what Lyrica calls the future sciences. And I have to say, just as a teaser, that one of the stories that's brought forth in the book is our relationship, pretty magical, to the Mitchell Hedges skull. And there's a science doorway in there that's very key to all of this autism evolution. And this is one of the doorways that we'll be working with as we go forward with Lightworkers, and everyone will be a part of that. So I'm very excited about that possibility and where that will take us.
That's so exciting. One other thing that she says, and this is so powerful also, towards the end of the book, is, most of all, we can use our silent voice to find love channels to attach to pull in the pure love and light of God. Autism is a huge, powerful tool to be recognized and used in this way. We have gifts of divine mind connections that amplify our ways to serve. All we need are families and loved ones to see this truth and support its manifestation. Then we will become our gold grid, soul-infused love and light servers, and the world will be greatly blessed. So you and Lyrica and the people that are connected to this teaching and this way of being are opening a whole new way that people can relate to autism, can be in service to others. It's so wonderful. And I just want to honor you for being able to do this work, to write this, and to have gone through, you know, everything that you've gone through. I know all parents who have special needs children, you know, it's very, very challenging. And to continue to go to those deep places inside and work with it and, you know, open yourself up to coming to this level of understanding is just amazing.
Well, I had a lot of help, and it's all spirit-guided and infused. So it's if I have one maybe characteristic that I will own and claim, it's just really being faithful of the process. Even when for so long it didn't seem to make much sense, or I'm wondering why the heck we were doing XYZ. But at the end, it all presents itself as a miraculous fabric of teaching and growing and knowing on so many levels. And I just really pray that others can have a similar experience, and that maybe this book can help to initiate that experience for not only people that have autistic individuals in their family, but for anyone. Because mm-hmm. to me, it just is a sacred text for the soul, and it's right. and it's truly an experience, not just a read. People have been really touched, as I think you have.
I was really touched, definitely. It shifted my life and a lot of the awarenesses that I've had to a much deeper level, and completely out of blame and judgment.
And I really believe that in that part two, that's all Lyrica's writings, that there really are keys and codes in there that help to open up multidimensional gifts for the readers mm-hmm. that are ready to receive that kind of initiation experience.
Yeah. So can you tell us just for a moment, the event that's on November 17th, where is it going to be held, and how would people get more information about it?
Okay, it's going to be at the Creative Life Center in Sedona. And it's Thursday night, November 17th, from 7 to 9. It's going to also be a place where we'll be selling the books as well, because we feel like that's a really important foundation for the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be kind of Gail, Lyric, and friends of people that have, like yourself, that have been touched by the book, will also be sharing a little bit about their experience, and there will be a powerful energy activation that will kick off this partnership. And even those that attend are not locked into long-term commitments here. It's just this is a one-time event just to seed the process. And then as we go forward, there'll be other ways opening up for whoever wants to participate.
And is this also on the website? So if people...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't answer that part of the question yet. It's on the website. And it's also on the Creative Life Center website. There's a calendar section there and an information section there as well.
So your website is autism.com, A-W-E-T-I-Z-M. And I really recommend that people go and visit it and see the video that's on it. It will really open your heart, and it describes what's in the book in a very simple and beautiful way. And there's some paintings that Lyrica did that are just expand your heart just looking at them.
And five of those paintings are actually in the book. So that's part of what I believe makes it even more so a sacred text vibrationally. In fact, I've had a few people that have told me they've received the book and have just held it in their hands, and they were just instantly hit by the frequency.
Yeah, and so, the amount of love that's shared in that book, and you know, through the stories that have been very painful in your lives, is incredible as well. And the things that you've written about your families and what everyone's gone through is just wonderful how you share it in the book.
Like I said, it was so transformative for us that if we can be of any influence on others to maybe step aside from the struggle and look at another way to experience autism, our job and our role will be very complete as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And I want to offer to the audience that I'm going to go to the event, and then I'll be back after Thanksgiving and be part of that meditation circle, creating something like it here on Kauai to assist the autism mind and open ourselves up to it and to expand ourselves when I return.
It'd be a great adventure. I'm standing by to find out exactly how it's all going to unfold and just be as much a participant as a leader, because that's how it feels.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that you were able to join us today and, you know, spend this hour with us talking about the book and your life and Lyrica, and I really appreciate all that you do.
Well, and vice versa. That goes back to you and all of your work, and I look forward to hearing your music in person. That would be such a treat for us, and for Lyrica as well. That would be really special.
Oh, thank you so much. I look forward to being there.
We'll just let the adventure go on.
Yeah, it's definitely an adventure.
Thank you so much for this time and this opportunity to speak to your listeners and share what we care so much about.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you have a beautiful day.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. Right. Aloha. This is Transformational Tea with Taj. This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Up next, we have Gabi with Shift Happens. And now we have a piece from Journey Around the Sun, A Mayan Odyssey.
day.